This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Former 24/7 champion, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Bear, I'm doing a show. Turkey, ducky.
That's great.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to ENN.
On TV.
There it is. Brought to you by DoorDash. Download the DoorDash app now. Start exploring some of the best New York has to offer. DoorDash, get more from your neighborhood. Start off by saying good evening to Michael.
He had a chicken finger in his mouth.
Good evening to Don.
Can you guys tell Eli I said hi?
I will.
Oh, sure.
No.
Good evening to myself. I've been sickened. Good evening to Michael again.
I wouldn't mess with him, even with a weapon.
And good evening to Eli.
That is confirmed.
And to Eli again.
Brian Dabo.
I don't know if it's Dabo. I think it's Dable.
It's Dabo Sweeney.
Dabo Sweeney. It's Brian Dabo Sweeney.
Brian Dabo Sweeney.
Yeah, there you go.
Isn't it Dabo Swinney? Guys,
sure.
It's official. Your dreams have come true. Ben Simmons is a Brooklyn Net. And unfortunately, we will not be able to utter the words Jim Harden as often as we once did, as he is off to Philly. The Nets get Ben Simmons, Seth Curry, Andre Drummond, unprotected 2022 first-round pick.
Yep.
And a protected 2027 first-round pick. My goodness. It's quite a haul for the Brooklyn Nets. Let's hear from Woj on how the trade went down.
Brooklyn and Philadelphia really started to negotiate in earnest today. I was told Philadelphia had checked in previous days, had lobbed offers that had been returned without a counter. But today, Brooklyn started to talk about with Philadelphia what a deal would look like. But James Harden, this has been the goal of Daryl Morey since the day he arrived in Philadelphia. He wasn't able to trade for James Harden with the Houston Rockets. The Brooklyn Nets did. And now just a year later, Harden has essentially forced his way out of a second team in consecutive years. He goes to Philadelphia. He's been paired with a lot of stars in this league, and he gets a new one. Joel Embiid, a new co-star, and Ben Simmons comes to Brooklyn. We'll see how quickly Simmons is able to be able to get into the lineup, play. Seth Curry, certainly an impactful player, especially with Joe Harris. The rest of his season uncertain with an injury, but the blockbuster is done.
Now, Magic Johnson has rung in.
Okay.
On Twitter, he said, because Kyrie is not vaccinated and Ben Simmons hasn't played all year, Brooklyn will not be a championship contending team this season, but they definitely will be next season and on. And he said Philadelphia picking up James Harden makes them a championship contending team.
Now, let's hear from Wendy. He was a believer in this trade. He said the trade had to happen.
The Nets were going to have to trade James Harden when he essentially shut down last week in Sacramento. He basically decided he wasn't going to play for the Nets anymore. And once that happened, it was just a negotiation on how we got here. And were there times where this maybe was a no chance? Sure. Were there times this was very close? I'm sure there's going to be stories that come out soon about what we all went and sat down. But as soon as James Harden decided he was going into Houston Harden mode, the Nets had no choice. Because the risk that they had of Harden not playing his full ability this season versus the risk they had to make in this trade, it was unbalanced. It just had to happen.
If I was a betting man, guys, it sounds like Wendy and Woj had differing opinions on what was happening this week. And we're possibly talking to different sources.
Now, how about this, though? Steve Nash, you know, they're playing tonight against Washington. And the Yes pregame's going to be on at 7. Frank Isola will be there. I'll break it down. But Steve Nash said he can't talk about the trade because it's not official yet.
Okay.
When does it become official?
He still doesn't know. Nash still isn't sure if it's going to happen.
He said it wasn't happening, so maybe he's still betting that way.
Let's hear from Richard Jefferson, who was on the NBA Today, saying the whole trade was about Kyrie.
I think this is a very good trade. Everything always hinges on Kyrie. If Kyrie comes back and you have an elite score with Kyrie, you have an elite score with Kevin Durant, and then you have a guy in Ben Simmons who can distribute, but is also an elite defender. And now you have that shooting. With Joe Harris out this year and has been struggling, his ankle's probably a lot worse than what they know. It kind of reminds me of the Bucks going to try and get Serge Ibaka because they know Brooke Lopez might not be back. Seth Curry now adds to more space for Kevin Durant and for Kyrie Irving. But everything hinges on Kyrie Irving. It's hinged on him this year and will hinge on him moving forward. If he can come back and play and continue to play at this level, then I still think the Brooklyn Nets are the favorite.
They do get a fairly complete team. You've got Patty Mills and you've got Curry for your shooting if Joe Harris doesn't come back. I don't think people that might not follow the NBA that closely realize how superior a defender Ben Simmons is. I mean, like a lockdown closeout defender that can guard any position from 1 to 5 and wants to guard the best player. That's a big thing. And he doesn't have to be the first option for the Nets. He's a third option. Some nights he could be the fourth option. So the fact that he doesn't shoot, not a big deal. The fact that he doesn't like to get to the foul line, not a big deal because he's not handling the ball. Kyrie's going to handle the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect situation for him.
Kendrick Perkins thinks this is a perfect situation for Philadelphia.
Right now, Philly should be the favorite to win these. They have the best duo in the game of basketball in James Harden and Joel Embiid. And you tell me what offense or what defense is going to stop them. Both of these guys are great at getting at the free throw line. Both of these guys are unguardable. And like Sinead, like you just said, putting them in the pick and roll, going late game isolation, clearing one side, going two-man game. How are you going to do it?
Tell you what, though, I think once things get lifted here, if the Nets have their new big three intact, I think they might have something to say about being the best team in the East.
For him saying that they're the best duo, well, if Kyrie is vaccinated and healthy, Durant and Kyrie are pretty great.
Yeah.
LeBron and Anthony Davis are
pretty great. Yeah.
And we don't know, is James Harden a shell of himself?
We'll find out.
We know Embiid's great, but James Harden seems to be trending down.
But it's hard. You never know with him whether he's trending down because
he's
unhappy. Stephen A. Smith had some, like Stephen tends to have, some pretty mild and low-key thoughts on this trade.
This could potentially, not definitively, but this could potentially go down as the worst day in the career of Daryl Morey. Think about this for a second here. You gave up a shooter in Seth Curry. I hear that he can't guard and hurt a guy 27 on him in the playoffs. Stop it. The bottom line is he's one of the premier shooters in the game, okay? You think about him, he's gone. You gave up 2 first-round picks. How do you go from asking for first-round picks to giving up 2 of them? That makes no sense to me whatsoever. And so when I look at it from that perspective and whatever else they gave up, when you think about Ben Simmons and how he compliments KD and Kyrie, what he brings to the table in terms of his playmaking ability, his ball handling skills, his basketball IQ, and first and most importantly, his defensive prowess. There's no question, along with Andre Drummond, a big body that Brooklyn desperately needed because we know they were a bit thin on their front line. You take all of those things into consideration, I don't think there's any doubt that Brooklyn benefits from this trade. Now, when you look at Harden, is he going to take off some kind of bodysuit and be thinner today? Is he going to get younger? Is the hamstring injury suddenly going to disappear? What I'm saying to you is this. What we've been watching over the last couple of years, as great as we know he is, he hasn't been himself, meeting the guy that Daryl Morey was overseeing in Houston. And because he hasn't been that guy, I'm wondering how long can he be that guy? Because I have no doubt he can do it. How long can he be that guy in Philadelphia? Because with KD, Kyrie, and Ben Simmons, and an extra big body on your front line in Brooklyn, I see Brooklyn as the clear winner in this deal.
And now look at this obese man that's going to sit in the chair.
The only thing I'll disagree with is some of the things that Stephen A. sort of like mocked the idea of. Is he going to get in better shape? Is he going to be healthier? He might be.
Yeah.
Those aren't impossibilities.
I think that, if they win a championship this year or next, even if they're locked into a 4-year deal where he makes over $50 to $60 million a year, they don't care. Championships are hard to come by.
Yeah, they haven't won one since 83. Now, the Nets have never won one. But let's not forget.
Was Andrew even born in 83?
No, he was born in 84.
Wow.
Wow.
So,
well, hey there.
Milwaukee, Miami, and then teams out west. It's not like a lock for either of these teams to win. Even if the trade works for both, there are some other teams that have a say on a championship.
Well, I know one of those teams. It's the champions, the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah.
And do you think that the Bucks stopped in their effort to improve?
No.
They ended up getting Serge Ibaka in a four-team trade.
Holy crap.
Yeah. With the Clippers, Kings, and Pistons.
And that's their, you know, Lopez had back surgery and they're not sure if he's going to come back. So this gives them insurance. If he comes back, then they have two bigs. But if he doesn't come back, Ibaka could fill that role because they want to win two in a row, and they can.
Yep. And they can. There's no doubt they could absolutely be in the finals. Dallas Mavericks have moved on from Kristaps Porzingis. They sent Porzingis and a second round pick to the Wizards for Spencer Dinwiddie and Davis Bertans. Who, by the way, I talked to my Wizards friend who said that both of them were just never good. I thought Dinwiddie, I guess because the Wizards started out strongly, I assumed it was working well with Dinwiddie. Apparently not.
And also, Dinwiddie gives Dallas a little insurance if they cannot sign Brunson, who will be a free agent, so Dinwiddie could take that position.
Wizards also moved Montrezl Harrell, sent him to Charlotte for Vernon Carey Jr. and Ish Smith, according to Woj.
It's my favorite name in the NBA.
They also sent Aaron Holiday to the Phoenix Suns. And, Dallas is now officially out of the Kristaps Porzingis business. Never really worked with him and Luka.
All fond memories of that deal.
It's this
week. I do, too.
It's this week.
Yeah.
I believe.
3 years ago?
This is really getting under the curtain.
Lift it up and show it to me.
Love it.
That was the trade that catapulted our show to the top.
That's right.
Because that was the year we decided not to go to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And our competition went to the Super Bowl. This trade came down during the show. Our competition refused to break from all the people parading in and doing, the promotions for Depends and stuff like that. And we did the entire show on Porzingis, which is all anybody cared about. And I believe that was a turning point. Don't you, Don?
Oh, there's no question. Because there is this perception that all anybody cares about is the NFL, which is true when it comes to television ratings in the game itself. But 2 weeks talking about the same game, there's other things going on. And when a major story breaks, you want to be on top of it. And this perception of, well, there's nothing else going on but the Super Bowl, so let's just talk about that all the time. No.
No,
there's
not
a lot of other things going on.
If the market you're in does not have a dog in the fight.
Right, that was the key.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, the Giants or Jets weren't in the Super Bowl. So, and then you find out that there's a major move for the basketball team, and it was on the Super Bowl Friday. No, it was a critical moment. Good K-Show trivia moment.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Celtics are sending Enes Freedom, formerly Enes Kanter, to Houston. And sources say Houston will waive him after the deal is complete. And the Knicks decided to do nothing.
Bing bong!
Yeah.
Ping pong.
You saw that tweet earlier?
I read that months ago or weeks ago. Yeah.
No. Really?
Yeah, when they started losing. The bing bong came early. The losing followed, and then bing bong to ping pong.
Today was the first time I'd seen bing bong to ping pong.
It's good, right?
Very solid. I've been sickened. Speaking of being sickened, did you guys happen to see Aaron Rodgers at that golf charity golf tournament?
I did not.
Who are you talking to?
I don't mean watching him play. I just mean like a headline.
If that golf tournament, Peter, was in Don's backyard, he would call the police.
What if, Don, it was a golf tournament in your backyard, but it featured the members of the Big Four, Anthrax, Metallica. They were all playing in the game. Jabroni Pumpleduck.
That's a great question.
Sorry?
If Frank Bello was in my backyard golfing,
yeah. Right.
I have a base because I dabble. I'd bring the base out, ask him to put it on and play. If he refused, I'd escort him out.
So the only reason he can hang out with you is if he wants to play the base.
Well, I don't want him golfing.
But you're anti-golf.
But what if he says, I'll play the base for you for 2 hours, but let me finish this round, Donnie?
No, I'm good.
Oh, wow.
Who are you to come in my backyard and start playing?
Well, you live on an imaginary golf course.
This is an imaginary golf course. You're like on the 16th hole.
Oh, yeah, I mean, he's playing.
I'm disgusted by the sport.
So Rogers was about to tee off, and when he was introduced by the MC as a three-time MVP, he so Rogers obnoxiously throws up four fingers and waves them back and forth to indicate, no, it's about to be four-time MVP.
Nosley.
Yeah, but not yet.
I mean, but also.
But he's saying it's going to be four.
I know, but.
But also, you know, I got a rare daytime call from Ballard today about this.
That must annoy you to hear that.
He was Ballard. So angry.
Rogers?
Yes. The idea, and I think you would agree with this, the idea that you just lost a couple of weeks ago to Jimmy Garoppolo for the second time, and there's a Super Bowl happening on Sunday, and you're playing in a golf tournament, and you're busy showing off about your MVPs, what do those MVPs do for anyone? Like, for a quarterback? He is a selfish nozzle.
I wonder, because he's so confident, whether he knows he won it already.
Of course he knows. He did win it. It's between him and Brady.
Right. So, but I'm saying they got to get them to go to the NFL Honors Show on Saturday. I don't know when they tape it, if it's live Saturday.
I think it's live.
Yeah, so they might be like, he might say, I'm not going unless you know I'm winning. And they might have told him you won.
There's different like ways of being obnoxious and cocky. I will take the really smooth, well-dressed, bling-wearing, handsome Joe Burrow version of being cocky over the gross, slimy, ponytailed, obnoxious, four times from Rogers. He's in the toilet. I don't even want him in Washington. Just imagine
I have a base because I dabble.
I mean, Ballard could get really upset if they announced him as Super Bowl champion and he threw up two fingers. That would be a lie. It's only
that
one.
That would be. But don't you think it's unusual, though, for an NFL quarterback to be really in a great mood to show off this week when there's a Super Bowl happening, when you're supposed to be in the Super Bowl?
Well, he's had 3 weeks to get over it.
Ballard's not over it.
Well, we know Ballard has issues.
Ballard's day calling. I mean, that just shows
that's
you he's not
day
over.
Calling.
That's bad. Never a good sign.
Never a good sign.
Hello?
You probably thought something was wrong.
I did. I don't get day calls from him.
Oh, hey.
And he couldn't text you that?
He texted me a soliloquy, and then he called.
I mean, what are you, like his daytime therapist?
No, apparently it's the nighttime therapist.
No,
it was
daytime.
An emergency.
Is he coming over Sunday for the Super Bowl?
He is coming over Sunday for the Super Bowl.
Who else is going to be there?
Fish Ballard?
I don't know. Right now, it's just me, Natalie, and Ballard. I don't have any big plans.
Poor Natalie.
He's not seeing anybody?
She's busy. She can't do the Super Bowl.
She's busy. What is she doing on a Sunday for the Super Bowl? Everything else is closed down.
Do you ever think that sometimes you're just too personal? Like sometimes,
no.
I'm not going to tell you Ballard's girlfriend's
business,
sorry. Okay?
No, this show, we want to open it up. So,
Don, I think Ballard's girlfriend has moved to Prague.
Yeah. Toronto.
You know, my dad texted me after the show yesterday. And he said, hearing you tell the Diana story on the show sounded so crazy, and yet I lived through it and know that it's real.
Oh, this is so exciting.
My parents really are supportive.
Did they like her?
They loved her, yeah.
And you had no money, so they paid for your trips to Prague.
Yeah, I wasn't.
Mom!
I wasn't paying for my trips to Prague.
They really are money. Saints. We have, yeah, the McGovern money.
I have. I still have somewhere in my parents' house. I have a box full of letters. There was a lot of letter writing in those days. And it would take like 10 days.
Imagine how much easier it would be now. With email.
It wouldn't even be long distance.
No. You'd have FaceTime.
It would be, we had nothing. We like towards the end of high school, we had email. Or like middle of high school. But it really was, for the first couple of years, it was all letters. And then like when the pain subsided and we got used to it. Because phone calls, you know, expensive phone calls?
Oh, by the way, I can imagine.
You could talk on the phone all day now. Back then, you're talking about, if you called at the wrong time, it was like $2 a minute.
Listen, I don't want to get too graphic, but you'd be able to be active now.
He doesn't want to get too graphic, though, Peter.
No, no. But, you mean her and I could have, like, each gotten an Oculus.
Yeah.
We could be in the metaverse.
Yeah.
And I could drop a single called Bleeping in the Metaverse.
And she could have been Dirty Diana.
Was doing porn.
Now, the best moment I had when it came to phone calls
sex
during high school was at some point, a friend of mine had a connection and got me. Do you guys remember pocket dialers?
Pocket dialers?
They looked like calculators, and they saved your phone numbers. And you could take the pocket dialer and hold it up to the phone, and it would dial numbers for you.
Britain, I never heard of this.
No, never heard of that.
So, yeah, it was like a weird technology somewhere between having just like a Rolodex and a cell phone. So you'd store the numbers, and you could hold it up to a phone, and it would dial the numbers. It would play the sounds and dial the numbers. My friend got a like loaded, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Like jailbroken pocket dialer that created the quarter sound, and I could go to a payphone and call her collect and fake the quarter sound and call her for free.
No, nice.
Michael would have reported this immediately.
I'm hoping the statute of limitations is not expired. I hope they come get you.
I bet you do, you sick animal.
You didn't call or collect. You tricked
not collect
the phone into thinking that it was getting the money.
Right, and I didn't even know at the time that you could do international calls that way. But what you would do is you call the operator and say, "Hey, I'd like to make an international call." And
hi, who am I speaking to, please?
It would say, "Please insert $3," and you would push it and make the sound 12 different times.
Oh,
and then
goodness.
You talk for 5 minutes, and it would say, "Please insert another $3."
So you would have these kind of like sexually charged phone calls in a phone booth?
Who said they were sexually charged?
Oh, what did you say? Oh, is it beautiful weather there in Prague? I mean, what were you guys talking about?
What are you talking about?
Did you do ecstasy?
You talk about all kinds of things with your girlfriend. I was 15 years old, 16 years old.
Okay.
You'll play along?
Blah.
All right.
We've got to meet.
A couple of quick notes before we get out of here. The Washington Commanders always making good news. They're Pro Bowl tackle Jonathan Allen apologized for a now deleted tweet.
Unreal.
In which he said that Adolf Hitler was one of the three people living or dead he'd like to have dinner with.
And then he said he was a great military mind, and he really wasn't.
I saw people saying that. He's not considered a good military mind?
No. Look at some of the stuff he did. Dumb.
And
that's
Allen,
militarily. Otherwise, he was, you know,
A sicko.
By the way, a lot of people on Twitter, D&D's mom said the NFL honor show is tonight, so he'll know tonight.
Oh, it's on ABC. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Allen, interestingly enough, is Washington's nominee for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award for the second consecutive year.
I just don't. Do they just not get it? Because I guess he did say something like, I'd want to pick his brain on why he did what he did.
Yes. Listen, I said this to to J.P. Finley and Brian Mitchell on their show in D.C. today. They asked me,
"Do you get paid to do it?"
I don't get paid. It's a weekly, and Don, it's a weekly every Thursday at 1:30.
Nice.
I call up simply because I admire B. Mitch, and I went to high school with J.P. and we talk Washington football.
So I admire John Boy and Jake.
You admire them?
Yeah, I think what they've done is extraordinary.
Okay, I hear you, but Don, you could explain to Michael
there's a difference in me growing up watching Brian Mitchell on my team. He was a great, all-time Washington great.
That's right. And he went to school with JP. So that's a big difference.
I mean, high school, he was 2 years below me. I took his sister to homecoming.
Oh, my God.
How'd that work out?
You didn't fly somebody in from Prague?
It was before she left. Don't worry about it. Anyways.
Dear God.
As I told them.
It's not cheating.
I wasn't necessarily offended or don't necessarily think Jonathan Allen's a terrible person. But, like, how dumb are you? Like, even if that's the stupid thought that you have, how did you think that would play when you typed it on Twitter doing an Ask Me Anything? He later in the day apologized. Earlier, I tweeted something.
You know I always joke about this. Sorry, it doesn't fix the lamp.
Yeah.
He apologized because he was told to apologize. But that's what he feels.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, it's not like he had an epiphany. He was told, are you an idiot?
Earlier, I tweeted something that probably hurt people, and I apologize.
Probably
I
hurt
said.
People.
I didn't
that was
express,
one of those if I offended apologies.
I didn't express properly what I was trying to say, and I realized it was dumb.
Listen, here, for all you kids out there, if you think, right, if you think for a second about tweeting something about Hitler, don't.
Yeah.
It's a good choice just to leave that alone.
Go ahead and lay out.
Yeah, lay out on Hitler.
Maybe wait and take a play or two off and think about things. And also, MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred says that Bob Manfred.
Not Bob, he's Rob.
Says that losing games to a lockout would be, quote, a disastrous
Bob Manfred
outcome. Thanks, Bob. You don't say. Not great, Bob.
It's close. He might. He's not known for speaking.
How close?
Well, in these situations, so that's going to come back to haunt him. That's going to be a freezing cold take.
No, no, you're right. That now is the headline. If in fact they miss games,
right?
That's the only thing that was said today that gives me a little hope that maybe there's a settlement in sight. Because for him to say that, he knows it's going to be a banner headline if they miss one game.
Unless he plans on spinning it. Well, it wasn't our fault.
Well, I'm sure that's the way he'll try to spin it, but the headline is going to be what Peter just said.
That's ENN. It's brought to you by Hennessy. Enjoy a delicious Hennessy NBA cocktail while watching the game tonight. Try the Hennessy Playmaker, maybe the triple-double, both made with Hennessy VS. Visit Hennessy.com for drink recipes. Hennessy, spirit of the NBA.
Right.
Always enjoy Hennessy.
Always.
Responsibly.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.